Now, back to the WILS Weekend Kickoff on more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS. Here's Dave Benton.
Welcome back. Weekend Kickoff, 1320 WILS, streaming live at 1320WILS.com. Dave Benton here with my co-host and producer, Scott Eckersley. It's time to talk a little college football for the first time in a couple of months. We're joined now by national college football reporter for Sporting News, Dave Curtis. Dave, thanks for joining us.
Hey, guys. How are you?
So, Dave, you're down in Ann Arbor today to cover that game, correct?
I am right outside the gates of the stadium.
Okay, fair enough. Now, in your opinion, I'm sure you've been to a lot of spring games. What exactly can we get out of a spring game? What do you usually get out of a spring game when you watch one?
You know, in most cases, very little, to be honest with you. It's really not all that much different than a practice. Everything's controlled, everything's scripted. You don't see a lot of intricate blitzes and schemes. I think in a case like Michigan's, though, and some other schools around the country, particularly when there's a new coaching staff, I think you get a feel for a little bit of some of the more conceptual changes, I guess. You know, is the team moving with more energy? Do they look like they want to be there instead of in maybe past year just kind of going through the motions a little bit? Certainly there are some competition battles, especially on defense here, that we may be able to, have a little light shed on as this afternoon goes on. But this is more a day just for, fans who maybe can't get the games and get into a place like Michigan Stadium to come and enjoy it and give the players one more chance to, hit each other for 50, 60 plays before they head off into exams and then about a month off.
Hey, David, Scott here. What specifically are you looking for at this game today?
Hey, Scott. Line play would be the thing that jumps out first, especially on the defensive side of the ball. The problems stopping the run have been well documented under the Rich Rodriguez staff and, Greg Robinson's 2 years as coordinator in particular. What's different there? Who are the guys? What kind of games are they going to talk about making quickness-wise, size-wise? Denard Robinson is going to be kept under very tight reins today, as are a lot of the other good offensive skill players, I'm sure. But I think we will be able to get a little bit of a gauge for whether this team has even a chance to, stand up against some of the good offensive lines and good running attacks they're going to see in the Big Ten.
National college football reporter for Sporting News, Dave Curtis, here with us on the Weekend Kickoff, 1320 WILS. Dave, you're talking about the line. From what you know and from what you've read, do they even really have the talent to improve that much this year on the line, or do they need to get a couple more recruiting classes in before we can really start talking about them being competitive on the line?
Well, I think it depends what you mean by competitive, and I'm a little bit biased here. I covered the University of Florida from 2005 to 2008, and in 2005, Greg Madison went down there. And, granted, Florida probably had a little bit more depth than Michigan did, but, defensively, it wasn't a real good situation there. And in 1 year, he and Charlie Strong, were able to really bring that defense around, especially up front. And the second year, they won the national championship. Now, I'm not predicting that for Michigan necessarily, but I think that, these coaches do have a little bit of a track record, particularly at that position, for getting guys better and getting them to play above what a lot of people thought they could. So, can they shut down, Michigan State, Ohio State, Nebraska? Probably not. But can they keep the team in games more and allow Denard Robinson, if he can put up 28, 31 points, to win games they might have lost in the past couple of years? I think as the fall goes on, I think that's a real possibility.
Dave, you bring up Greg Madison, and we've had this discussion a couple of times on this show. In your opinion, who was a bigger get for Michigan, Brady Hoke or Greg Madison?
I'm sorry, there's a guy on a loudspeaker here. Can you just repeat that one?
That's okay. We've been discussing it a lot here, and we've wondered who ended up actually being the better signing for Michigan, getting Brady Hoke or getting Greg Madison?
It's a great question. I think it's definitely more surprising that Madison left his position with the Baltimore Ravens to come back to Michigan than Hoke leaving San Diego State to come to Michigan. I mean, this is the guy who'd walk into work every day and Coach Ray Lewis and Ed Reed and Haloti Ngata and, you know, a bunch of all pros, and have a chance to go play in a Super Bowl every year. And now he's coming back here to, you know, one of the shakiest defensive front sevens, I think, you know, certainly in the Legends division and maybe even in the entire Big Ten. You know, they're both kind of cut from the same cloth. I think that at the end of the day, though, it's going to be Hoke's job to unify the program, to get this thing clicking in all three phases, to rally support off the field and, you know, be that figurehead that Michigan fans want so much, like Lloyd Carr was, and of course Bo Schembechler was, and Rich Rodriguez was. And Madison's going to do a great job with the defensive line, but big picture, I think it's going to be Hoke's, you know, job to get this thing back on track and get Michigan back toward the championship level it wants to be.
Dave Curtis, National College Football Reporter for the Sporting News, joining us here. Dave, one of the big questions coming into the season with all the change is what the offense will look like, and especially with Denard Robinson. What, in your opinion, can we expect the offense to be and expect from Denard?
Well, I think today it might not be real pretty because everybody's still learning. You know, this is a change. We've heard a lot about Denard and the footwork and taking drops, and all of that's very legitimate. But the offensive line's blocking a little bit differently. You know, backs are going to be used very differently in this system, much to the delight of the running backs, I might add. And, you know, there's really nobody on the offense that goes untouched, you know, by this move to Al Borges' scheme. So they're still trying to figure things out. You know, there might not be a ton of points today. I got to be honest. I think it's going to take into a second year, at least into a second spring, for this team to really click. So come the fall, you know, we might see Michigan start out in games trying to be what Al Borges wants them to be, and as games go on, kind of fall back to just snap it to Denard and, you know, let him try to make something happen. I don't think that's how Michigan wants to run things, but it might have to run things if it wants to give itself its best, the best chance to win when conference play starts.
Dave, let's talk more Big Ten-wise, some other spring games going on today. What else interests you about Big Ten spring games today?
Well, Penn State, you know, is one that jumps out, guys. You know, I think defensively they'll be okay. You know, the whole linebacker U thing, and they're strong at that position again. You know, they've got some experience on the defensive line, and you have to figure that Tom Bradley's going to figure out some way to have that group playing pretty well come Labor Day. But on the offensive side of the ball, lots of questions. You know, obviously quarterback, is it McGloin? Is it Bolden? Is Bolden going to stay? And then a lot of shakiness on the offensive line, too. You know, only a couple real solid positions there right now. And so, you know, a lot of guys going into August trying to make a good last impression on the Penn State offensive staff there. So, you know, that's kind of the game that jumps out to me. How does McGloin play? How does Bolden play? And what comes of things out in Happy Valley?
Dave, what kind of an impact does Nebraska joining the Big Ten have?
Well, there's a lot of different levels of that question. You know, I think off the field, and I've heard my buddy Jerry DiNardo from the Big Ten Network say that he thinks that Nebraska joining the league and giving it that fourth kind of banner, you know, big brand program with Michigan, Penn State, and Ohio State, it gives the Big Ten a chance to be the best conference in college football. I think year to year, maybe, but overall, to me, it's still the SEC. The Big Ten gets a boost for sure with, you know, a program with Nebraska's tradition, but I think it only more firmly kind of entrenches them at number two as far as that debate goes. You know, on the field, it obviously splits the conference into divisions. You have a conference title game, which I think will be a real exciting deal first weekend of December. And then, you know, just another tough team to beat. Another, you know, opponent that's really going to grind you and wear you down a little bit. You know, teams like Michigan, Michigan State, Iowa, Northwestern, Minnesota, you're going to have to deal with these guys every single year. And, you know, it'll be curious to see if teams can continue to go undefeated or have one lost season through the Big Ten as they have, you know, somebody has almost every year, you know, as a competition gets tougher. And just as a side note to that, the ADs meet next month in Chicago, and I think the addition of Nebraska might further prompt the Big Ten to discuss adding a ninth conference game, and I think that's something we may be hearing a lot more about here in the next couple of months because of the addition of the Cornhuskers.
I guess really the more important thing I wanted to know is how much that will affect my Spartans' chances of winning the Big Ten next year and in the following. What do you see? I mean, Michigan State plays on the 30th. What do you see from
you
them this
Sparties
year?
You Sparties and you're going to win the Big Ten. No, unbelievable.
Hey, we won a partial share last year. Come on.
You did, and if you cut the season right there at Thanksgiving weekend, it was a heck of a run for you.
Thank you, Dave.
I forgot that they played Alabama. Not watching that game.
I had to until you brought it up, to be honest with you. Well, I think the first part of your question obviously makes it a lot tougher for everybody to win the Big Ten. I think Nebraska goes into the season as the prohibitive favorite in that division. It's going to be very hard to win games in Lincoln. And Nebraska's shown it can go on the road and play very well, win at Oklahoma State last year. So with that defense and that run game, I think Nebraska again is, you know, just going to be another huge challenge for everybody, particularly the guys in that division. You know, I think Michigan State, you got to look at the linebacker spot, obviously, with Jones and Gordon moving on, and then you know how well the offense continues to go, a lot of players back, but with Don Treadwell out and the relationship that he and Kirk Cousins had, I think the best coordinator, quarterback relationship in the conference by far. And you know, does his moving on to be head coach in Miami of Ohio affect, you know, how well the Spartans are able to move the ball and how cohesively they play?
National college football reporter for the Sporting News, Dave Curtis with us. Dave, I know you got a busy day. One more question before we let you go. On today, April 16th, knowing we can't predict who's going to get injured and things like that, who's the best team in the country?
I'm going to go Oklahoma. I think the way that they played last year, especially down the stretch of the season, the fact that they have so much back on offense, you know, a couple guys, Ryan Broyles at receiver, Travis Lewis at inside linebacker, you know, guys everybody thought would go and be early draft picks, decide to come back. You know, and just with Nebraska out of that conference and no title game, I think it really opens things up for them to have a much better chance of going and playing for a national championship. So I'm gonna go with the Sooners now, and I think I'm gonna stick with them at least till they see Florida State in mid September.
There you go. Heard of your first national college football reporter for Sporting News, Dave Curtis, down in Ann Arbor today. Dave, we appreciate it. Enjoy the game.
Guys, I enjoyed talking to you.
Yeah, it was good stuff, man. Good stuff. We will do it again soon. That's it. Dave Curtis, Sporting News. We'll be right back. We'll talk. I can't believe you think that we're going to talk about this whole Michigan State Big Ten championship thing a little
bit. It's not realistic. I'd just like to know.
Let's lower our expectations a little bit. We'll talk more about that next. Weekend Kickoff, 1320 WILS.